Gather around. I'm glad everybody came out tonight.
I feel like my team is probably going to go undefeated this year. Yeah, I do feel like I got pretty much all the good players.
You're calling undefeated season for Caddyshack Williams.
Yes, that's correct. It's like when Joe Namath guaranteed the Super Bowl. Did he really know that they were going to win? I mean, let's be real, no. But did he have, a 99% sure feeling? Yeah, he did. And that, so do I. Yeah. My biggest bad emotion.
S-L-A-N-G. Thinking about taking $1 million insurance policy out of my mouth. Transition to a Lamborghini from a Mustang. Drug sling in the drug gang with the hustling. One thing. Anything is better than that.
You're the best podcast guy in the biz, man. What we're here for.
Hey, it's great to be back on your wonderful podcast.
Start a football game. I got goosebumps.
This is the Semi-Pro Ducks Fantasy Football Podcast. Here's your commissioner, Rick.
We are starting week 13 off the right way with some talking soccer. And if this is going to upset you, we can call it talking football if you want. I wish we'd had our resident Gooner on while he was in fourth place for our talking soccer edition here. But we're going to have to settle for a Europa League playoff spot for him. It's the owner of the American fantasy football team, the country's best, Eugene Marcus T.Y. Hilton. Brandon, how you feeling about your Arsenal, man?
The arse is strong right now, Nick. Rick. That intro cracked me up. No, Arsenal looks great. I don't know if you saw any of today, but 5 goals is a lot of goals. That's big for my fantasy football, other football team.
Yeah, I saw the highlights. I didn't actually see the game itself because I was watching Everton kind of dominate West Ham, so that was very fun. But 5 goals. Giroud had a brace. Alexis scored. Ozil was involved. This was peak Arsenal that everybody was kind of hoping for 3 years ago.
Kind of upsettingly, they scored in the 68th and 70th minute.
Oh, no.
I know. Yeah, it's like, guys, it's like they're not even trying sometimes.
Oh, that's really upsetting. I'm sorry to hear that.
Would have been a huge week for 69, considering the Ducks.
that's all we really care about, really, is the 69
yeah,
scores.
That's what we're here for. But no, the Arsenal looks good. Big Man U game this weekend, so we'll see how that goes.
Ooh, that's always fun. Lukaku always does well against the Big Six, so I don't think you have to worry.
Yes. Correct. Oh, Rick, Everton used to be the Big Six. It's so sad.
Used to be, it should be the Big Seven, and then Everton's like, no, we don't want to be a part of that party. We'll hang out at the bottom.
Pretty much. You got Big Sam Allardyce, though, so that's great news.
I think the best tweet I saw about that was, well, let's not actually appoint Sam. Let's keep him in the stadium just so his, like, aura kind of brings about something that, like, you're not going down, but don't actually have Big Sam be the coach.
Yeah, he's a crazy person. Did you see, I don't know if you've been following, there's all this like Premier League uproar about how all these foreign managers keep coming in and like stealing English managers' jobs. And I saw this thing about there are 9 English managers, and they're all, which includes all of the top, all of the bottom 7 in the Premier League, which is kind of amazing.
Oh, boy.
Like every bad team has an English manager, which is perfect. Including you guys now. So
yeah, that's true. But we're going to win the league now. We're going to come from behind and take everybody by storm.
Correct. That's how that works.
As long as Rooney is hitting them in with no goalie from his own half, I think like we're set, really.
Yeah. It's a shame that that's not worth 2 points, you know? It's from way downtown.
That is, yeah. Literally from his, like, the defensive half. Like, that is your 2-point line. Like, that should be worth 2 points.
Should be, yeah. My Greenberg dumb rules.
Yeah, absolutely. Let's make soccer, give soccer the 2-point line or 3-point line. Fuck it.
Fuck it. Might as well. Let's go all the way out.
Question from a fan for talking football. Thoughts on Patrice Evra kicking a Marseille fan?
Actually, I'm going to have to Google that now because I didn't see that video, but that's incredible.
Okay. That's fine. That's all we have to cover on that. What do you think about Tottenham's early struggles?
Oh, it makes me very happy.
Nice.
Oh my God, that Patrice Everfield. Have you seen this?
I think I saw a photo where he was like kung fu fighting, like leg in the air, but I haven't seen a video.
Yeah, that's exactly what he did. He really kung fu kicked someone. Wow, I love that. That's incredible. No, Tottenham Starling's been really nice for me. One of my good friends here in Denver is a huge Tottenham fan, and he's like very impassionate about it. Like we used to live together, and watching the games, he would like wake people up because he'd be screaming and stuff, which is just like, dude, like okay, calm down. So it's way better for me when Arsenal's ahead of him because he kind of mellows out a bit.
How is it that every Arsenal fan has three friends who are Tottenham fans?
Yeah, I think it's because every. Gosh, I don't know. That's a very good question. Tottenham's the worst. Yeah, they're terrible. Well, I remember a few years ago, I found out that Steve Nash is a huge Tottenham fan, and I always liked Steve Nash, so I was a little disappointed by that. But,
yeah.
What can you do? There are a few famous Arsenal fans, I think. I don't know.
Is LeBron James an Arsenal fan, or is he a Liverpool fan?
I think he's Liverpool.
Oh, fuck that guy.
Once upon a time, I knew that Osama bin Laden was an Arsenal fan. That was kind of a downer.
That's worse than Ted Bundy was a Husky.
Yeah, that's much worse than that. So I had to reconsider some things, but, you know, you are what you are at some point in time.
Last question from the home end, as I'm calling it. How, over under 5 years until Swindon is back in the Premier League?
I'm going to have to Google them as well. Are they just in the championship now?
I don't know if they're in the championship or the one below that. I know they're not in the third tier, I think, which is League 2, Championship 2 or something.
Okay. Let's pull BBC Sport and do some good radio here. And they are, oh my God, their last game is against Dartford. That's not a real team. That's just not... All right, so they're eighth in the championship.
They're in EFL League 2? So is that third tier? Is that where I said I knew for sure they wouldn't?
Probably. Oh, yeah. They're definitely in League 2. Yikes.
Okay, so over for 5 years then.
Dude, these teams have such fucking funny names. Stevenage and just Forest Green. That's just a color. That's also a name of the team. God bless.
Stay on brand. And that was Talking Soccer. Yeah, so now to the thing that nobody gives a shit about. It's fantasy football. Big Thanksgiving weekend recap coming up. A shocker at the top of the league as Froenick and Luke go down, allowing my nice 169 score to take the top spot with 1 week to go. In the middle of the standings, Chick-fil-A J. Green Burrito wins the second battle for the City of Medford Bowl, moves his winning streak to 7 games, and he's in the playoffs at 8-4. Our third Toilet Bowl of the year, Andrew got the edge over Duncan, leaving Scott and Duncan both at 3-9, tied for 12th place. The top five spots in the playoffs are set. Oh boy. Myself, Luke, Froenick, Jordan, and Tim are in. Mike and Brandon, you guys are tied in sixth and seventh, respectively, separated by 53.5 points. And more importantly, Mike has that 7-5 record ahead of you at 6-6. Pip's big push for the playoff falls short, as well as Jared, as those two are the final two teams that are going to miss out of the playoffs. So, moving on to our matchups, it just so happens that the two guests on the pod this week are the two players in the tightest battle for our one and final playoffs spot. I didn't have that drop ready. Hold on. I'll edit that in.
Playoffs
spot. We're going to have time to talk about all the chances that are going to go into the playoffs, the seedings, but we're going to have to begin with a pair of 4-8 teams. We have Pip, Marvin Haggison taking on Andrew, Ryan Leafy, AJ Green Burritos. Pip was on the wrong end of a 169 while Andrew scored 118 plus for the second straight week. This week, the two play for pride and for constipation bracket seeding. Not a whole lot has gone well for these two teams. What gives in week 13?
That was a very, very well done recap there, Rick. I just want to give you some props for that.
I'm out of breath.
When you started it out saying that we need to move on to something that no one actually cares about, I thought you were talking about this matchup, which is probably also correct.
No, it's just nobody gives a shit about fantasy football, so.
Yeah, that's very true. But, yeah, this matchup means nothing, which is kind of fun. I think it's basically, I'm kind of spoiler alert, penciling in myself to not make the playoffs. And so this is basically just to see who gets to play me in the first week of the constipation bracket off, which I don't know. I guess I'm kind of here.
You could come up with a more fun name for that.
I probably could. But yeah, I mean, these two teams, actually, I found that I liked these two teams almost more than some of like the teams that were in the playoffs, which is always kind of weird. Like, they're both pretty fine. They just kind of had a lot of bad things go for both of them.
Yeah.
I actually really don't mind Pitt's team, although the fact he's starting Rex Burkhead is very funny. But, I mean, he's been fine in that Pats offense, and he'll be okay. But I think Pitt's just kind of had unfortunate stuff happen to the guys that he thought were going to be good. I mean, obviously, Dez has been trash, and all the rest of his good players have not been good. So, man, it's weird looking at Pitt's team. I feel like I can't even remember who he drafted.
He still has pretty much the same team. I know he had Rodgers at quarterback. He obviously had Cahunt at RB2. He had Mike Evans as a wide receiver. He didn't have Robbie Anderson. His team hasn't changed a whole bunch. Hasn't made as many trades as he does in the past.
I was trying to remember his first round pick, and it was Evans. So
yeah,
not particularly memorable. shockingly enough. Yeah, the one thing I found interesting about this matchup, just kind of starting from the QBs, it's funny to me that Wentz is projected for fewer points than Cam, which, I mean, I guess, like, it's very bizarre. Like, it's weird getting into this new world where New Orleans is, like, a bad matchup for quarterbacks. And Seattle, at Seattle, you'd think would be a bad matchup, but they're missing, like, their four best defensive players. So,
right.
I'm not really sure. I don't know. I feel like Wentz could have another good game. That Philadelphia team's really good, and it's really upsetting to me. So, yeah, I feel like, because if you just look at the little preview page, that's like the one thing where, I mean, outside of QB and tight end, Pitt is favored in every single one of their little spots. And I kind of feel like he should be favored at QB too. So I don't know. I think Pitt could do very well in this game. Although this is, considering this is the one game that kind of means nothing, this is the one that has the closest little ESPN projected gambling line, which is fun.
So. Interesting. Yeah, yeah. Going back to what you said, I kind of agree that like both of these teams look really good. I kind of compared it to like when you do a franchise draft in Madden, like you kind of rig the draft and you end up with like four really good guys at like one position, and that's kind of like what both of these teams are. Like if you had these teams in Madden, like you would absolutely crush, but that's not how fantasy works, and it's just like so much has gone wrong. Like Pip is the fourth highest scorer and he's first against in points. Like that's not how you win. It's just like really, it's really, really unfortunate because you look at that doc that Luke posted about like the implied record and like your score versus everybody else and how would you do or whatever. It's like Pip should be like in third place right now and like Jordan should be battling for a playoff spot and like other teams that are doing bad like should be probably even worse. Like it's that kind of makes more sense than I think the points against argument. Because I'm the third highest team scored against, but I'm also the highest scorer, and I'm doing okay. So I feel like points against is like just super annoying because you can't control it, and it just keeps happening. But that implied record thing is makes it just so much worse as like the shit that Pip has had to go through.
Yeah, it's not great. I did find it convenient that Luke came up with this document that had him in first place in the league.
That is a little suspicious, yeah.
What a surprise. But at least it's beautifully color coordinated, so there's that.
That is true.
Yeah, it's not great for Pitt. It's obviously a bummer that his team. I mean, he had injuries and he kind of just underperformed, which is just really double unfortunate. So I think he's done. Like he can hang his hat. It would be truly cruel if he ended up losing the constipation bracket or something. But that would kind of also be really funny. I feel like Pitt would probably be the best at stand-up comedy, maybe of all of us.
Ooh, boy, that. Yeah, maybe, I think right? If we had to do a Mount Rushmore of like four guys you'd want to see do stand up, I think Pip kind of would be up there because I feel like he could like he'd pull out the accent and then no one would give a shit what he has to say.
Yeah, I also know that like if we did this at some like open mic thing and we were all there, we would all laugh at everything he said and no one else would, which would make it remarkably funny.
Yeah, no matter who does the stand up, like at the end, we're all gonna find it hilarious. No, like we will, like you will have people laughing with or at you the entire time.
Yeah, it's pretty great. Yeah, back to this matchup.
Do we have to? I mean,
yeah, I don't know. I mean, because what this really, there's really nothing that can. There's nothing that this matchup means. So it's
no,
kind of just for funsies. But
yeah.
I think Pip's gonna win. Who do you think's gonna win?
I think it's Pip as well. I don't think Andrew. His matchups look pretty tough, and he's got guys that aren't doing so hot. Jordy Nelson's just been dog poop since Aaron Rodgers has gone down. Salami Twatkins has been better with Robert Woods out, but Arizona's defense is pretty tough.
He's going to be shadowed by Pat Peterson in that game, too.
Yeah, that, it's not a good look.
Good luck.
meanwhile, I don't. Yeah, I like Pip's team. I think he'll get a win. He'll end on a high note, but he's still going to be really mad the entire time.
Pip has a lot of, has two players that I drafted, which is fun. Is Robbie Anderson and Zerline. I think I also drafted the Rams defense.
Yeah, you dropping Zerline was one of like the weirder kicker moves. Like,
I'm so upset about that.
Pip dropping Justin Tucker shocked me because like at that time the Ravens were bad, but he's still like a really good kicker. And then dropping Greg Zerline because he was on a bye is like, what the fuck are you doing, man?
Yeah, I mean, whatever. I'm fine dropping a kicker. This goes into actually the whole, Luke is so anti kickers, and I'm getting more and more convinced that he might actually be correct on this whole thing, but. He was so mad when I was playing him in Zero and had like 30 points, which was kind of fun. But good grief, man, he's had so many good weeks. You just look at his numbers; he's like outscored a lot of probably receivers over this season.
He's hit 17. Like he hits 17 consistently. He's done it five times. One, two, three, four times. Sorry, no, that is five. That is five. I can count. Yeah. He's done it five times.
Yeah,
that's unbelievable. Yeah. I think just for the fact that it makes Luke angry, I think we should keep kickers because that's the one thing we can all beat him in, and so let's do that.
Yeah, it's funny too because I feel like Luke probably tries to like get a good kicker every week, and okay, do. But yeah, the fact that he's lost twice basically due to kickers is what can you do, man? What can you do? I think he'll be fine either way.
Yeah, we should keep kickers just because I think it's fun. All right, so we both got Pip winning in the.
Got anything else on this one?
No, we'll move on. Big playoff for playoff seeding right now.
Playoffs?
Chick-fil-A AJ Green Burrito is taking on Cooper Cup of Noodles. This is Tim versus Jared. It would be the current 4-5 matchup in the playoffs as both, after points scored, I guess, as both are part of a 4-way tie for second place at 8-4. Tim continued his winning ways, 7 games winning in a row. But even while winning, starting an inactive Rashard Matthews, Robert Woods was on his bench and was saved by Vanny Woodhead not getting 10 points on Monday night against Fronik. Jordan got the win by 7 over Scott as DeAndre Hopkins had a heroic effort but came up just short as well. This week, Jordan comes in as a 21 projected point favorite. It'd be the first of possible 2 back-to-back matchups between these two teams. What do you see in this first matchup here?
I just really don't think Tim's team's any good. Which is like kind of, it's definitely mean to say, but outside of Kamara, I just feel like his entire lineup. I was blown away that he's won 7 in a row. That's remarkable. I like had to go back and look and make sure he hadn't made some like ridiculous trades and stuff. But 7 in a row of the team that I'm looking at right now is very surprising. And I feel like it's pretty much been all of Kamara. Which, I mean, I don't know. It's good. It's pretty impressive that he drafted Kamara and didn't just pick him up on the off waivers. So
yeah.
I guess I'll give him credit for that. But outside of that, his team just kind of makes me not feel good. So I don't know. I think Jordan's going to win pretty handily in this one. I think Tim's got some pretty decent matchups. You know, DeMarco versus Houston should be okay. That Tennessee offense really needs to get going, though. Kenny Stills against Denver. I know Kenny Stills and Matt Moore have, like, a deep connection. So
they do have a weird connection. I like when the 3 weeks I had to start Kenny Stills for some reason, like he had like those were 3 really good weeks that he had, and I didn't get it.
Yeah, I mean he's still been doing pretty fine. I mean he had that 1 week I guess against Tampa he did really well, but Tampa's trash. But I don't really know if Denver's even going to try. They're going to be in Miami and without Tlaib, and so I don't know. I feel like Kenny Stills could do pretty well. But Zay Jones is just such a question mark. Like he's been kind of growing some rapport with Ty, but it's tough to trust a rookie receiver against New England. And I don't know. I mean, Maybe he'll be fine. But I just don't really see it happening. That New England defense is good again, which, yeah, what a surprise. That New England's good at football. So I kind of feel like Buffalo's going to be playing from behind on that one. And I don't know. I mean, I just don't know if I see it. And then you look over at Jordan, and he just has A.J. Green, Devonta Adams, and Stephon Diggs as his three receivers. And
yeah.
It's like, well, this might not be even close. And, I mean, Jordan has what? I think Jordan Howard's going against San Francisco. San Francisco's the best matchup for running backs. He has, I think, I just pulled up. He's got Devontae going against Tampa. Tampa's been the best matchup for wide receivers. And he has Jared Cook going against the Giants, and the Giants have been the best matchup for tight ends. So it worked out really well for you there, Jordan. And even Goff against Arizona. Arizona's been the 29th best or worst team against QBs. So
yeah.
I can see this going quite well for Mr. Jordan, to say the least.
Yeah.
I'm sure.
Go ahead.
I feel like Jordan should lose points for dropping Cooper Kupp, though, before he got good. Did he ever have him? I feel like he had him.
He did. Yeah, he drafted Kupp and he held on to him, but he was a part of that trade that got him Jordan Howard. He had that whole RB2, which he got filled in, so.
Well, whatever, Jordan. Yeah. I guess that worked out fine.
Yeah.
Jordan seems really good. He has every single running back known to man, which is kind of amazing.
And he also,
like, all of the all of them. He has Latavius and Kenyon and Doug Martin just chilling on his bench. So I kind of, what, I guess Doug Martin's got, is he concussion or is he, yeah. Running backs and concussions, am I right, Rick?
Hey, I've never heard of a team had to go through that problem recently.
Hey, topical. I actually really like Jordan's team. I'm sure he's probably regretting that AJ Green pick, but we all have to live with our mistakes.
Yeah, who would miss that? I don't know. I'm more annoyed that Alvin Kamara is good at all. Mostly because he's a Saint and because I've got Ingram. Because in the 2 weeks that Kamara's absolutely gone off, it's meant nothing for Ingram, and he's barely gets the ball. So I'm hoping that maybe New Orleans can dominate the run early or something. But yeah, Tim, his wide receivers are just not good at all if he doesn't have Woods and Cooper going in there. Because if you can have Matthews as a wide receiver three or a flex, that's fine. But you can't have Stills and Jones and Matthews all in there. Your team doesn't look very good. I do agree that the winning streak comes to an end here.
None of those guys are wide receiver one.
No.
All right. None of those guys are even the best receiver on their team.
No. Well, maybe Rashard Matthews, but that's it.
Yeah. And even that Delaney is the primary target in that offense anyways. So.
Right.
Yeah. I don't know. I can't believe Tim's won 7 in a row. That's just fantastic. Outside of that, let me check my notes. Have you seen any of those, the advanced analysis on Kamara?
I've not, no.
He has all these things of, the Pro Football Focus, the fancy guys that Chris Collinsworth owns and, totally references all the time in the Sunday night broadcast, which is funny.
Right.
I guess he has all these, elusiveness things where he, I think the thing that I saw or heard or something was that his yards accounted for, after contact and after, catching a ball, accounted for, 45% of the Saints' offense on Sunday.
Wow.
Which is just pretty gnarly. So he is quite good at running the football. So, which is awesome. I mean, it's cool to see players who are, good at actual football and also good at fantasy football. So I guess I'll – perhaps I'm catching feels for Alvin Kamara. Also a great name. People named Alvin.
Alvin's okay. Kamara is pretty good. I feel like that's got some camera sponsorships in there for sure.
There's a lot of puns in it. There's probably like -200 that someone has a Kamara named team next year.
Yeah, because I think our team name theme is going to be Breaking Moves. By the way, our team name theme is going to be household items. So
wow.
Yeah.
Perfect.
So forest I think I sent one to Pip and it was forest lamp. Get the Kamara, Alvin Kamara. I don't know. I don't know. You can do something with Kamara. He's gonna have
it's,
a team name.
Yeah, it's there. It's definitely there.
Alejandro Villa Nueva, I think was another one.
Yeah, there you go.
That was a little more clever.
Yeah, how House jokes. Nice.
Yeah, it's very topical. All right, last.
Tune in next week for our house jokes podcast.
Talking homes.
Talking homes. Talking puns.
What would be the pun name for the Talking Puns podcast?
Oh God. I don't know. I just did the brain exploding emoji. Whoa.
All right. Last matchup of the week. One of the two big ones. Brandon, TCBY Hilton. You're taking on Fronik Street Taco Charlton. Brandon, you put up a week low 85 last week, while Fronik came up 3 points short of extending his own winning streak as well by 7 points. As I said, you're trailing Mike by 53 points, but a win for you, a loss for Mike, would mean that it would basically come down to that point scored spot for the final playoff spot for the second year in a row. What are your feelings going to this matchup here?
Well, I don't feel great, to say the least. Mike beating Luke last week was not great for me. It was funny for Luke, but it was it became a lot less funny when I realized how much it kind of screwed me going into this week. But I laughed for a good few minutes, so it was still probably worth it. I don't know. I have not great feelings about my team, unfortunately. We'll touch on this more later, but losing Crabtree definitely hurts. Losing Devonta for just those last 2 weeks has been brutal because I've been playing pretty much, going against Jared, he's had a team that always has had like the potential to go off. So I wasn't surprised that his team did pretty well last week. Right. But like the week before, I think I lose to like Andrew or Duncan or someone. Yeah, losing to Andrew is just not a good look, frankly. The team morale is quite low. But I don't know. It's fantasy. What can you do? I just can't decide if I want to play Tyrod or play Dak. Dak has looked so freaking bad ever since Zeke has gone out, which only like half of me understands. Like,
God, he put up negative 1.2 against Philly?
Correct. Yeah,
holy shit.
Yeah,
you cannot start Dak. You cannot do it.
No, I cannot. I cannot. Did I start him for his negative 1 week or did I not?
I don't.
I think I did.
Actually, that was the week that Tyrod got
back. Yeah, that was perfect.
Oh, no.
And then Tyrod came back in and scored like 20 points on my bench, which was pretty rad. Yeah, dude, my team that week was brutal. The Saints defense, who got negative 4 points, and Dak, who got negative 1.2. Not too many of multiple negatives, it turns out. So that's some analysis for you there. That was a pretty brutal one. I'm hoping Tyrod plays well. Even with Devonta being back from his concussion, I'm still kind of nervy playing him. That Minnesota front seven is not very nice, and I feel like he could pick up a knock early in that game, and then they'll just pull him out. So that's pretty fun. McCaffrey's been like my only good player. I'm pretty sure he's been the only good player I've drafted. Outside of Marvin Jones. Marvin Jones, I think, has been the wide receiver four this year, which is pretty fascinating.
Yeah, those two guys have been really good for you. Like Jones, kind of like after his bye week, staying really consistent, scoring a lot. That's been big.
His that catch he had in the Thanksgiving game where he just went over those two guys, I very much enjoyed that. It was quite nice. It was nice for me. I still lost. So what can you do? Toronto's got a good team. It's kind of. You don't really have to say that at this point in time, but he's just solid. Like, every single one of his players probably can get 10 points every single week, and if you can do that, then, you know, you're sitting pretty. Breeze has kind of been up and down, but I guess what, they're home against Carolina. I think he could light it up this week. I don't know. The Kareem Hunt situation has been Pitt traded him at such a good time. I'm still kind of blown away by that.
Yeah, I think, we all blasted Pitt for doing it, but I think he made the right call. Like, he hasn't been right since that game against Oakland, and he's getting a ton of touches, and he's not even getting 10 points. Like, it's really not – that whole offense just, like, is taking a huge dump.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure Kareem Hunt has scored 12 points since that trade.
Ooh.
Yeah, which is – that's not what you want. It's just not.
No, it's pretty bad.
Oh, no, okay. Okay, he scored 20 points over 4 weeks since that trade with one bye week, but – and then meanwhile, Pitt picked up Robbie Anderson, who's just scored every week.
The Robbie Anderson, I've really liked the pieces that Pip picked up. If he had done half of the trade with Roenick instead of the full thing, but still got Anderson, that would have been a great trade.
Yeah, Robbie Anderson, another former TCBY Hilton draft pick. So
wow, nice. Good job having a Jet for a little bit.
Yeah, that worked out terribly for the beginning, and then really well now. So it's stuff like that kind of cracks me up, that we all thought the Jets were going to be the worst offense in NFL history, and they've actually been pretty much good all year. McCown's been fine. It's very fascinating. Fancy. Turns out you can't predict it.
Oh, wow. All right. Yeah, well, that'll be the end of the podcast forever. Thanks for listening.
Turns out we're folding the league also. but no, Fern's got a good team. I mean, Fitz is solid. Mike Evans, he hasn't had a big week, and so that'll probably definitely happen this week. Green Bay's just not good. And then Kyle Rudolph is there's got to be some. I was trying to come up with a good Kyle Rudolph Christmas joke, but it didn't happen. And then Marshawn's back. And we'll touch on this later when we discuss Crabtree Talib Volume 2, but my mom became a big Marshawn fan this weekend because he walked Talib through the bench.
That is such a mom thing. That is, who's the guy walking the other guy off the field? He's my favorite player now.
That is exactly what happened. she was texting our family group text, and she's like, who's Lynch on the Raiders? And she was also very happy to find out they used to play for Buffalo. So, go Bills and all.
Interesting. All right.
Yeah. And then I sent them that video. Have you seen the video of Marshawn in London for Skittles or in England? I don't know if you saw that one.
I think I have.
Yeah, when that Super Bowl was in Houston, so he went to Houston, England, and did that promo for Skittles. And it was pretty great. Marshawn's awesome. Truly underrated person. They used him so much against the Broncos, and the Broncos actually do have a good run defense, and he still did all right. So he'll probably be fine against the currently, I believe the best word to describe them is hapless Giants.
Yes, so, lots going wrong there.
Lots going wrong there. And the Jags defense might outscore four players on my team. So.
Yeah, Indy's offense not looking too good. And they put up 17 against Indy the last time they played in Week 7. So that's... not looking too hot. 10 sacks in that game. That's fucking incredible.
10 sacks. Oh, my God.
Holy shit.
Poor Jacoby. Because the Titans got to him last week eight times. Man, Jacoby Brissett making it through the whole year is pretty impressive.
If they turn Jacoby Brissett into a brisket, this technically could be just tenderizing the meat.
That's a...
That was a bad joke. I'm very sorry for everybody at home who just groaned, but I kind of had to do that.
Yeah, it's so weird. All of our listeners just turned off the podcast. That's really odd. You can hear it.
Yeah, it's a feeling in the force.
Yeah, no, I actually think Fronik's going to beat me pretty handily this week, and I'll just end up being in the constipation bracket. I'm actually semi-convinced that I'm going to lose the whole thing.
Really?
It's very depressing, but my team's just sad. We're in a sad state here. So, I don't know. I'm not very excited about it, and maybe I'm just down considering we're on a good old 3-game losing streak. That'll do you. But I just I feel like I've just had a bad matchup for multiple key players every week for the last month. And turns out matchups are important. So because even this week I've got Marvin Jones against Baltimore. Baltimore's got a good secondary, and then T.Y. against Jacksonville, which is just he might not catch a ball.
Yeah.
There's a very good chance that he just doesn't catch a ball. And then Devonta could go out with a concussion, and friggin' all of a sudden I have 7 players. So,
are you predicting a score of 0, basically, then? Or .5?
I think my team's going to score 0 points. no, Kai Forbath will put up 27. I'll still lose. It's not a great mojo. Would you believe it? Lev Bell has more targets than T.Y. this year.
And oh, God.
Rick, he plays running back. Did you know that?
I did know that. I did know he played running back. I didn't know about the stat, though.
Yeah, so that's just not good, frankly.
Oh, yeah.
Not good at all. But, yeah, I guess, Froning's got a good team. There's no denying it. And he'll probably be in pretty good shape for the playoffs. Even with
the playoffs?
God, and he has Josh Gordon. God, that hurts. It hurts me. He has a lot of cool players. His bench is stacked with people I like. Tough look.
Yeah. I also have Fronik winning. I think your wide receiver matchups are going to hurt you. Although I do, Freeman coming back is going to help you. I don't think he's going to get a concussion or anything. It has always worried me about like the way he runs, where it's like head down kind of running.
I feel the exact same way. He always runs his head first.
Yeah. And then fucking Keanu Neal on defense giving Trufant a concussion because the entire Dan Quinn coach defense just leads with like the crown of their helmet. But because it's in the open field and like the guy's a runner, it's not targeting like that. That also worries me too. I haven't liked that at all.
Yeah. Falcons look good though. So
yeah, that is true. They're back.
Falcons are back. Who's back of the week?
Yeah. Time for segments. Speaking of who's back of the week, we'll start there. My first who's back of the week is theft. Whether it's Aqib Talib going 2 for 2 stealing chains from Michael Crabtree, or maybe a certain podcast that had a canceled TV show stealing segments from the number 16 podcast in the country, stealing and theft is back. So get yourself a candy bar, a TV set, or maybe a van that's in Brooklyn with flames and stickers on it.
Theft is very much back. The research I did on famous chain snatching, great article, by the way, would recommend. Some of the stories were so incredible. They had these quotes. So I'm just going to run through a few of these. I don't know which segment this falls under. This could just be just theft.
Yeah,
theft
thing. The theft segment.
One of the people who got robbed, so I should have written down who. I think it was Slowbucks who got robbed. This guy who robbed him was named Rowdy, and I'll just read the direct quote from the article. And it goes, in an act of shamelessness that will hardly seem out of place once you're through of this list, Rowdy, the guy who stole the chain, Rowdy bragged about his successful chain snatching on camera, saying, I ain't never been a fan of Batman, but I am a fan of ... Just said Robbie T just before he cocked his gun of Robin, which is pretty incredible. That's high. That's next level.
Oh my god!
That's legitimately like a meme. So that was a pretty good one.
Oh my god.
Yeah, the fact that this dude's rap name was just Rowdy, which I guess just is not going to be adverbs. yeah, I never been a fan of Batman, but I am a fan of Robin.
The cocking the gun first and then
cocking
saying
the gun.
That is incredible. If that isn't a meme, it absolutely needs to be one. Yeah.
That's got to be on. That video has to be out there somewhere. I'm going to have to find that video.
Oh my goodness.
Yeah, that was a good one. And then the next one that I had from that was so 2 years ago, Shy Glizzy was reportedly robbed of his signature Glizzy Gang chain during a performance in Memphis, Tennessee. The story goes, on a remix of OT Genesis's Cut It, Glizzy explained that his chain actually fell off his neck during the performance and that once it hit the ground, quote, broke boys had a fucking scrimmage. Which is... I just love that it was on a remix of OT Genesis's Cut It. And the fact that they describe it like that.
You had great. To specifically mention the song as well.
Yeah, because that plays into the whole story. Talib Crabtree that might be my favorite NFL story all year.
The fact that Crabtree, like, still decided to wear the chain like a fucking idiot, but then thought, no, let me tape it down so he can't get it, and Talib still takes it. That's phenomenal. That is...
Taping your chain down is a beta move.
Absolutely.
To get it snatched while it's taped down, hey, that probably hurt. Like, there's some ripped hairs or something via that process, which is just injury to insult, frankly.
So. I get like you trying like to be the tough guy and like wear the chain and like prove that like, nah, you're not going to take it this time, man. Like you got it last time, but I'm wearing it again. But oh man, you can't get it snatched. Like that just can't happen.
And if you're trying to be a tough guy, you don't tape it down. You should, if anything, you should just wear it outside of your jersey and then.
Yeah. You like,
you have to be on the aggressive there.
You got to be quicker.
Get snatched. Yeah. You just have to be better.
Oh,
not a great look. I laughed so hard watching that though. That was, yeah, that was my mom was blowing up our family group text about that, which was hilarious. But yeah, then Marshawn Lynch ended up being the big winner out of the whole thing. But yeah, that's just so funny. And then they got suspended. They got kicked out immediately and then suspended for 2 games, which is so excessive. Because you go back and watch that AJ Green putting Jalen Ramsey in a chokehold.
Right.
Like, okay, and then those guys were just kicked out of the game. But it's just kind of funny. It's been the best part of the Broncos season for me. So that's says more about the Broncos than it does about the chain snatching. But it's pretty funny. It's undeniably funny. So, and Tlaib is you cannot mess with him.
No,
he's a legitimate crazy person. So,
what do you have to say about Crabtree throwing the punches at Tlaib, who still had his helmet on?
Yeah, it's just this is not a good look, honestly. I mean, okay, I get that you want to be the tough guy and like you took your helmet off, but who are you trying to prove here? Punching someone who has a helmet on? There's no way that.
No.
The only thing that would have made the whole story better for real life, but worse for my fantasy team, would have been if Crabtree just like broke his hand, which would have been funny and just like so shitty at the same time. But yeah, that was a weird move. I also. Not like Tlaib should have taken his helmet off, but well, no, because Tlaib ripped Crabtree's helmet off. If I remember the tape, so it's kind of like I feel like that's another point for Aqib there.
Yeah, Tlaib won the fight fair and square. He came away with there. I mean, there wasn't a belt up for grabs, but there was a necklace. He came away with it. He also took a helmet, and I mean, he didn't get punched because he had his helmet on. So I don't really understand.
Tlaib's up big in their aggregate scoring. If we want to talk soccer again. But
yeah, that is true.
He's talking punches.
He's got the away steals, the away theft.
He's up on away theft.
My second who's back of the week is Mad Pip. As Julio went off for his third career 250-yard game, Pip had another team go off for 160 for the second time in a month. So he went into his classic end-of-the-year angry self. And it's always kind of like expected. It sometimes happens earlier in the year when kind of I thought Pip would get really angry, but that's when he made the big trade because he's like, I'm going to fight to the finish, and that didn't happen. Generally, it will happen in the playoffs because that's when a team goes for like 200 points and he puts up like, you know, 100, and he's like, oh, I could have won, but Mad Pip is back. He's very angry, and it's kind of expected. So hello, Mad Pip,
yeah.
And hello, Sam, if you're listening to the podcast as well.
I feel like in correspondence with Mad Pitt being back, also who's back of the week, presumably racism. So,
oh, and yeah, okay, interesting.
That's, you know, two peas in a pod there. unfortunately,
that would be Phil. Phil is racist,
right,
back.
Right,
yeah,
right. So. Obviously, yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
People forget that. yeah, that's it sucks for Pitt, but there has to be. He must have done something. I'll say it. He did something at one point in time to provoke the gods, and so you are what you eat. Pip.
I think this comes down to him dropping Dez Bryant the year that the Naggers won the title. Was he dropped all of his players because he lost to the Naggers and was mad, and the Naggers picked up Dez Bryant and they beat Jordan, and that's why he lost. So I think it is just kind of all coming back to that.
So, start, Pip.
Yeah. Oh, well.
What a bummer.
Yeah. to Hot Seat, Cool Throne, my hot seat, I've only got the one of Hot Seat and Cool Throne. My hot seat is Manning Face. With Eli Manning being benched, it means he's not going to be out there throwing picks on Sundays, making his Manning Face on the field. We've seen all the classics. You've Googled them. We're going to be missed. We're going to miss that.
Yeah, pour it out for Eli.
Yeah.
Did you see how much longer Brett Favre's streak is than everyone else's?
Isn't it like 100 games more?
It's so Eli's like in second, I think. He's 5.5 seasons away from breaking Brett Favre's.
Jesus.
That's insane. And Brett Favre's still out here slinging balls in Wrangler commercials, so.
Yeah. Oh, boy. My cool throne, however, is also Manning Face. So I think it's another lock of the week, or Brock of the week, if you will. Actually, yeah, let's make this my Brock of the week here.
Brock of the week.
Eli is going to zone out on the sideline. Geno Smith is going to throw a pick, and Eli is going to be standing there half asleep, not knowing what's going on, with the little earpiece in his ear, and that's going to be the new Manning face. And it's going to be right up there with the Peyton picture where he's got that stupid fucking mask on.
Hey, be nice. Be sweet to my boy. Be sweet to my eldest son, Peyton Manning.
I don't understand the picture. Like, why is he wearing, like, a ski mask? I don't get it.
Hey, it gets breaking news. It gets cold in Colorado sometimes.
No, it doesn't.
All right, fine.
To the point where you have to wear, like, a full-on ski mask, though? Like, during practice?
It was 72 degrees this weekend. So it's, in fact, not cold.
Not to brag.
Yeah, not to brag, but it's always sunny in Colorado. So
is it 300 days of sunshine a year or something?
300 days, and they brag about it all the time.
People forget that.
Yeah, hot seat sunshine. Yeah. Turns out the sun is actually not cold.
But why is space hot?
Why is space hot?
No, that's backwards.
my older sister's a science teacher, and I asked her why is space cold, if the sun's hot thing. Yeah, which was actually, it was very funny to hear her explanation.
What did she say? But did she give like a nerd answer?
Yeah, because there's no mass in space, so there's nothing for the sun to make warm, basically.
But then how does Earth get warm if the heat is, so the heat just travels, but the heat is cold until it hits something?
Yeah, it's just, well, I mean, the heat is still warm, but there's like, the absence of mass means that nothing can be warm, right? Oh, I don't know, science.
So if there's heat in space, doesn't make a temperature. Like if a tree falls in a forest, doesn't make a sun.
Correct. And I believe the answer is definitely not. I got all my Tlaib Crabtree angst out, and I think I'm totally going to lose. So things are going good.
All right. Well, best of luck to you in your matchup. I hope that even though you're feeling down, you get a win, because it would extend my chances of getting a bye at the top a little bit more. Best of luck to you in your matchup this week, Brandon.
Hey, thanks. Thanks for having me on. Bad boys, what you want, what you want, what you gonna do when Chevy John Brown come for you?
We welcome on to the pod now our lawyer, our man on the inside. He's the guy that will someday fight for you in court no matter what you've done. He's the owner of Indomicon Soup. He's back for the first time since week one. Mike, you're back on the pod. How you doing?
Back on the pod in full and ready and raring to go. Thanks for having me back, Rick. I'm doing all right. I'm alive.
Yeah, you've been fighting through law school. Are you a lawyer now? It's been, 12 weeks.
Oh, I'm almost there. Almost. But not quite there yet.
Okay. So you still just, do you need a little more you time before you finish?
That's, I always need more me time before I finish.
All right. Thanks. Let's get into these matchups here. We start off with one of the few matchups that actually doesn't mean anything this week, but it is a roommate battle in Seattle. Duncan, double-decker in Fries, is taking on Jared Cooks. Both are out of the playoffs, but Duncan is trying to avoid going from foist to woist, and Jared is trying to make the most of his one-game winning streak to end the season. Perry, you're the former Ducks living up in Seattle in enemy territory. What are you seeing in this matchup?
What am I seeing? All right. Pull up my notes. So I don't think there's much to this matchup. I think Jared pretty much wins everywhere except quarterback. I guess if you look at the projections, did Duncan win at defense? I don't know if that's true now that he traded who does he have now? He has Titans. Not sure I like that. But anyway, essentially, Jared wins. Derwin's pretty much everywhere except quarterback and one position. Tom Brady's not going to cover Duncan's all other Duncan's losses.
Yeah.
I also see a bunch of questionables on Duncan's side, and that's just kind of icky to look at. And in my experience, at least on my team, the questionables end up playing. But still, seeing that many in your starting lineup is just kind of icky. Especially when it's your RB2, your quarterback, and all your wide receivers.
Yeah, it's just Duncan's team is just not good. He has not actually a fun fact or some analysis. He has not broken 100 points since week two when he beat Jared. In the 3 weeks where he actually had a pair of starting running backs and Coleman and Crowell, he went 99, 81, and 93. He's just in a bad spot. I mean, he's like asking for trades and not paying attention to when guys are in and out. And I don't know.
Right.
It's a bad situation. So,
and yeah.
Jared's team looks really strong. It's just a bunch of guys who have underperformed, and that's kind of why he's in the spot he's in.
Yeah, I was looking at it. Really, Jared only really wins by a big margin at RB1 and tight end. Those are the only ones where there's a big discrepancy. And everywhere else, Duncan's not really, if you look at your projections, if you care about projections, Duncan's really not losing out at any other place like by a huge margin besides those. He's just losing a couple points, and that just like ends up stacking up a lot against him. So if Jared's team goes like business as usual, then Duncan's losing is kind of how I had it. And what did I have? I just don't really see any breakouts on his team except maybe Tom Brady. If Tom Brady, you know, goes off, then Duncan could maybe cover his spread, but I don't think one player is enough to cover all the marginal losses he has over the whole team.
Yeah.
So that's really it. I had a weird thought, and tell me if you agree. This might be a Plaxico, but don't hit the button yet.
Okay.
Because I want to give out the reasoning, and then you tell me if you think it's a Plaxico.
Okay.
So basically, I just said, yeah, he wouldn't have covered. Even if Tom Brady goes off, he won't cover, right? So he needs someone else to cover him. And he had Kansas City defense. I wouldn't necessarily trust Kansas City defense because it's inconsistent. You know, from when I had them, they were inconsistent. Sometimes they did good, though. Sometimes they did bad. I bitched about them. I dropped them, and then they went off on me. The point is that they're inconsistent, but that inconsistency might have worked out for him. So humor me, let's just say it does, and he gets a good performance. Tom Brady going off and his defense going off, which is totally possible for Kansas City, might have covered the spread. With a Titans defense, I don't see that happening. So,
do you literally just mean the projection spread, like keeping Duncan within 22?
Well, yeah. I mean, if a defense goes off and if a quarterback goes off, I think they could cover that amount of loss.
I don't,
right.
No,
you don't think so?
I'm not seeing it. Like, Jared's wide receivers are too good. Like, his wide receivers, Lev and Gronk, could probably outscore Duncan's team. Like, if Jared wanted to, like, play it really tight, like, and just start five guys on his roster just to see if five guys could beat Duncan's 10, like, I think that would happen. Because I don't think Schuster is going to play. Hogan hasn't played in a month. DeSean Jackson is a second option who, I think he got into the end. He didn't get into the end zone last week, but like he's a number two option. He's got a bad quarterback. He didn't practice today. I mean, Tevin Coleman is back to a backup. Like Tom Brady's going to play. I don't know. And if any of his wide receivers end up missing time or for whatever reason, his backup options going in, I mean, the only maybe playable one in any situation would be Brandon LaFell.
Mm-hmm.
But it's,
I guess the simpler point I was trying to make with the defense is that you had someone who might have gone off, and now he only has one person who might go off.
Is
definitely not going to cover. So two positions maybe going off, that's the only way Duncan could possibly win. And he trashed the Kansas City defense, which I get because they're inconsistent. You don't want to trust them.
Yeah.
So that's what I was saying. It's a totally understandable Plaxico, but it may be a Plaxico nonetheless. I don't know if they're good enough to constitute a Plaxico, I guess. But
yeah, I don't know.
I just think I've got a hunch that we're going to see Kansas City do really well as a defense, and Duncan's going to be really pissed off because they're going to do well just in spite of you, Duncan, because that's what they did to me. They did well just because I dropped them, because Andy Reid's a huge dick. So that's what's going to happen, and I'm sorry for you.
Yeah, I've got... I don't think it's a Plaxico. I just think maybe it's a strange move, because I'm not sure, like, the Titans' defense hasn't been all that spectacular. Houston's offense, like, isn't great, but Titans' defense isn't something that I would think about adding or playing in this situation, really.
Right, right. Exactly. It's not, why are you trading one inconsistent defense for another inconsistent defense when they're both? I mean, whatever. Do it, you know, you do you, but... Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know. It doesn't make sense. I got Jared by like 30 in this one. I think he blows him out.
Okay. That's a bit high. I wouldn't say 30. Because, you know, Jared's team, again, like we said throughout the weeks, is just like, it's good, but there's always something that, like, brings down some points, you know?
Yeah.
I wouldn't say 30. 15.
I think Le'Veon can go off against Cincy. Landry's going to go up against Denver's defense where they don't have their best corner. Keenan's going up against the Browns. And then Cooper Kupp is up against Arizona's pass secondary, which is 25th against wide receivers. Like, I just,
right.
Those four guys, and then Gronk against Buffalo, who can, I mean, Gronk can go off at any time. Like, I think they all have big weeks this week.
Yeah. Okay. I agree with that.
So. Next up is Soft Scott and the Cleveland Hash Browns taking on Luke's I'm Thinking RB. Scott nearly got enough out of Gurley and Hopkins to pull off a late upset over Jordan, but he just wasn't hard enough. Well, Luke got snaked by Mike again. You did it to him twice. This time it was either a missed extra point or another catch for about 5-6 yards by Macklin would have made the difference. And before we jump into the matchup with Soft Scott and Luke, you go 0-2 against Luke in your first fantasy season. I mean, how does that feel?
Yeah, it feels like Luke's probably still fuming about that, is how that feels. And it happened in exactly the same way, in that all my players were done, and we were waiting on one wide receiver to essentially make one catch. That's how both the games ended, and they didn't make the catch. So I was, like you said, it was a real butt clencher. I'm glad I'm on the good end of it. I don't know. Luke doesn't, I mean, he can be mad about that happening, but he's still in a good spot. So it doesn't really screw him out of anything. And I kind of, at the time, I really needed that win when I wasn't sure. I was still in sort of competition with Brandon for a spot. So I'm really glad that it happened. Sorry I had to beat you twice, Luke. But, I'm not really sorry. But, but yeah. I understand.
Were you guys?
Why he's mad.
Were you talking afterwards? Did he say any mean things about you or anything?
No, I don't. Luke did not reach out to say any mean things. That would have. But whatever. I can. I'm sure he probably was pissed and probably vented to somebody. That was definitely. Luck was in my favor. That I'm surprised that I didn't get highlighted for when the chart came out about games you should have won and games you should have lost when Luke posted that. I don't think I was highlighted as a game I should have lost, and I was surprised. I thought I would have gotten highlighted as a game I should have lost for that game.
No, the chart was based on, like, at the end of the week, the scores. So if you were the score, I think, 6 or higher, like, theoretically, you should have gotten a win because you would have a higher score than more teams that week. So if you were in the red,
oh, I see.
I think you got, like, you lost, but you, or no, I think if you were in the red, you won a game you should have lost, and if you were in the green, you lost a game you should have won, kind of thing.
Oh, against everybody, you're saying, like, an aggregate.
Yeah, so it was.
Okay.
Yeah. So it wasn't, like, specifically, like, going through week by week, like, you know, the matchup going into the last day or whatever, anything like that.
Okay.
Yeah. Anyway,
that makes more sense.
To the matchup, Scott gets the return of Greg Olsen, and his two tight end train is rolling into town, while Luke will be starting Matt Stafford and his newly traded four wide receiver, Adam. I'm feeling it. What do you see in the matchup here?
Okay, what do we get here? What do we get? Two tight end trade. I'm not liking that, Scott. What the hell are you doing? Greg Olsen, I'm not buying it. I don't know if you are. Do you want to speak to that at all?
The two tight end train was something that Scott did a lot last year. I think actually with Greg Olsen and Jason Witten, he might have had the same two tight ends. I can't remember. Scott probably knows. But he went probably a month of games straight where he started two tight ends, and we started calling it the two tight end train. So it's not always the smartest decision, and generally it isn't. But he had Kelsey and Olsen last year.
Oh, nice.
So he had like two solid tight ends. So you kind of have to play them both, and he did that for probably at least half of the matchups last year. It's a little more interesting playing Witten. I guess he's kind of like the only reliable receiver who's not getting locked down on the Dallas offense. Olsen coming back from injury is going to be a little interesting. Not sure what to make of, you know, how much usage or playing time he's going to get. Last week only had one reception for 10 yards. So, I mean, he's back a little bit, but he's not actually back, I would say. So still kind of a risky play for Scott. But, I mean, at least he gets to...
Yeah, dude. I would say put someone else, put Jason Witten in as tight end and put someone else in at flex.
Yeah.
Seriously, what are you doing?
Put Cameron Brate in there and keep the tight end train rolling.
Yeah. I don't know. Yeah, I'm not a fan of Greg Olsen in his starting lineup. Sorry, did I cut you off? Did you want to continue with something?
No, it was just kind of like other than Gurley and Hopkins, like Olsen can be a top tier like weapon that you can get like worried about when you like facing up against a team with that. So it's not just right. Like Scott is a two threat team anymore. He's like a two and a half threat team now with Olsen, I guess you could say.
Yeah. Yeah. Basically, I kind of had the same thing. Todd's got Gurley and Hopkins, and essentially what. How I did this was on each side, you've got a monster and you've got someone who's got major potential to be a monster. So the monsters on each side are Todd Gurley Temple, to go with the food theme.
Nice. I like that.
And Luke's Antonio Brown Sugar or Antonio Fudge Brownie, whichever one you like.
I like Brown Sugar.
Okay, good. So I would say those are monsters who basically put up a shitload of points, almost relatively equivalent. They kind of cancel out. Then you've got Hopkins and Kelsey, you know, Hopkins for Scott, Kelsey for Luke.
Yeah.
I would say if those have good games, then they cancel out. And then out of your remaining players, it's just like Jared, Luke's got marginally better performance at just every other spot. And that just stacks up and will get Luke the win. I don't think that really changes with the trade you made today. He's still got marginally better performance at like every spot. Maybe Scott's got a better quarterback this week. But again, that's not going to be enough to cover because
right.
Derek Carr might be marginally better than, what is it, Matt Stafford? Luke's playing? Yeah. So one guy, when your big boys cancel each other out, one guy who's marginally better is not going to cancel out all of Luke's other guys that are, you know, marginally better and going to get him stack up his points.
Yeah, he needs, like, Jay Stu to get a couple goal line carries and, like, Derek Carr needs to go off and maybe Sanu catches a touchdown or something like that. Like, I think I've said this before, like, when Scott beat me for his first win, it was, like, nine things in a row had to go right, and it's, like, five guys on his team have to go off and four guys on Luke's team just have to have duds. And, I mean, Stafford against Baltimore is a tough matchup. Brown against Cincy, like, might be a tough matchup, but I think that Pittsburgh offense is starting to get on a roll. Thielen against Atlanta, we'll get to, and don't trade me, bro, my thoughts on giving up Thielen, but, I mean, Atlanta's secondary is hurting, and I don't know who they're going to decide to put Robert Alford on, if it's going to be Diggs or Thielen. So that could be interesting, but, yeah, Kelsey against the Jets, like, I think the Chiefs' offense can turn things around. So, all in all, like, so much has to go right for Scott to get a win, because his team has been so hurt for so long that he, like, just needs something major to happen, and I don't see it happening, really.
I'm rooting for it. I mean, that would...
Oh, yeah, I'm rooting for him, too.
And Luke can, you're already in the playoffs, so Luke can afford the... This means a lot more to Scott than it does to Luke, I think. So, rooting for Scott to win, I guess. One last thing. I do like the Chargers pickup.
Yeah, that was a big ad.
Not only are they going against Cleveland, but the Chargers are just getting hot right now.
Yeah.
And I have more on that later. But, yeah, good pickup. Good pickup, Luke.
Also pretty sneaky that he bid $20 for them. And if I look real quick at the auction budget, most of the people that would have been looking for defenses that are kind of still in it had around like $20. Because I know I had 19 and I put in 6 for it. So Luke, I think, maybe was thinking that I would be the one to put the money, like I would max out or something like that, and he would get it by a dollar. It was a good play by Luke. I agree with the ad. It was definitely a good one.
Oh man, yeah, you would have really benefited from getting the Chargers. How much did you bid?
I think it was 6. I think a bunch of other people bid like 5 and 4. Like a lot of people bid for the Chargers and they were unsuccessful.
Yeah. Okay. Good on you, Luke. But what else is new, right?
I know. Luke, he gets another break. Who wouldn't thunk it? Last matchup of the week, and it is a big one for a playoff spot. Mike, you hold your throbbing destiny in your hand, and it's up to you to see if you can finish fast and hard. Your Indomican Soup is taking on my Jay Berries. I had a nice 169. I'm moving to first all by my lonesome with a one-game lead and 41 points ahead of Luke. You've got a one-game lead on Brandan. How are you feeling about your playoff chances here?
Oh, man. Do we start with my playoff chances, or do we start with the matchup? Or kind of...
Let's.
I think I'm all right.
Yeah, let's start with your thoughts on it. Because I've talked to Brandon, so I've heard what he thinks about his team going into this last week. And so I'm going to not share anything that he said. So when you listen to this, you're going to have to hear what he says to kind of figure out what you want to do.
Okay.
I don't think that made sense.
Yeah, but so I get what you're saying. I think Brandon and I both lose this week. Knock on wood. I'd like to win. I don't see Brandon winning against Fronik because the league made his team a monster team with all the trades he got away with. I really see us both losing this week, and so that will just even if that happens, I'm still in it. It's like Ellie Goulding always says, anything could happen. So I really hope I win.
Okay.
Our good friend Ellie, you know.
Yeah.
Got really great insight.
Yeah. So all right. So okay. To the matchup then. Just want to start with this. The Seattle-Philadelphia Sunday night game has 7 players in it for both of our teams. I have Ertz and the Seahawks defense, and then you have Russell Wilson, J.H.I.E., LeGarrette Blount, Alshon Jeffrey, and Jimmy Graham all going. Does that worry you, knowing that your matchup essentially comes down to one game?
Actually, that was going to be at the end of my matchup analysis. I was going to say that's the game to look at for us. I think it's more important than any other game, even that your players are playing. Mostly because, hold on, my notes are freaking out. It's the only way I see me winning this. If that game turns into an absolute shootout, which it totally could.
Yeah.
And if that game turns into an absolute shootout, that will help a huge chunk of my whole team and basically ruin your defense. And you have enough of a projection, spread against me that, I need that game to turn into a shootout for me to win anything. So it's totally possible that that's what's happening, that game turns into a shootout. I shouldn't be banking on that, but that's the only thing I can bank on at this point. And so, yeah, that's really the game for our matchup.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know what to make of the Eagles' defense. Like, last week they had a great week against the Bears, but it's the Bears. They had a great week against Dallas, but it's Dallas without Zeke, so basically all the defenses can have a great week that week. I could very much see Russell kind of, like, picking the defense apart with him running and passing and kind of, like, dominating the game that way. And I could very much see with that battered-up Seahawks secondary, like, Carson Wentz and the Eagles just ripping ahead and just kind of throwing the ball all over the place. So I am pretty worried about starting the Seahawks defense, but also I wouldn't feel too great about starting the Rams defense or the Cardinals defense against the Rams just because that offense is moving so hot and they've got a really strong passing attack, and Cardinals don't have a great secondary. And so when those kind of collide, that's not a great look. So it's kind of why I was hoping that I would get the Chargers defense there. So
yeah, I see that. I'm specifically, the thing is, I have the Eagles defense and I'm benching them because I just want to keep them out of this thing because it's going to get...
Yeah, you don't want, want another player.
Yeah, I think, well, that too, yeah. And I think I think they're just going to abandon the defenses here. I think both these teams are hot. Both these teams are, can go crazy. And that's exactly what's going to happen, I think.
Yeah.
I hope.
The only thing would be, like, Seahawks in primetime at home, like, their defense is generally pretty strong. So I don't know how much that hurts Ertz. Like, I would rather the Seahawks go off and they kind of shut your team down, because that hurts you a hell of a lot more than it would hurt me for Ertz, unless it's a super tight game going into Sunday night, which it shouldn't be, because I'll have all of my players go and you basically have half of your team still going. So
Right.
If it's close going into Sunday night, I think I'm fucked no matter what, just because you've got five guys in your starting lineup there. So,
yeah, again, if it turns into a shootout.
Right, yeah, that's
true. Because you've got solid just points everywhere else, basically. You're not relying on one game. So I think that's a much safer thing, you've got going for you. It really is another butt clencher to be relying on one game for the brunt of your points, essentially.
Yeah.
But it's all I got.
Yeah, and I guess a little bit, if I can talk a little bit more about my team, I think Fournette and Ingram have better weeks this week. Jacksonville, last time they played Indy, I think that was the week that Fournette sat because of his injury. Yeah, because he got hurt in the Rams game. So he sat and missed the Indy game, but they still ran pretty wild against Indy, so I'm feeling good about that. I think Ingram's going to get used more in the Carolina game. Julio doesn't go for 40. He probably comes way back down to earth for maybe like a 12 or a 13-point game. But I'm really liking Jameson Crowder, and I'm feeling pretty confident about Damaris as well.
Oh, yeah. By the way, Zach Ertz, pick of the draft. No one said that yet, right?
Oh, has anyone brought that up already?
I don't think they have, and I just wanted you to know. I know you don't like talking about your team, but Zach Ertz, definitely pick of the draft.
Really? Wow. Yeah. That's new to me, I think, actually.
Yeah.
Huh.
Okay, I haven't really talked about the matchup besides the Seattle-Philly game.
Yeah, go ahead, get your stuff in.
I think basically you win everywhere except quarterback. First of all, dude, why are you playing Matt Ryan over Alex Smith? I don't get it.
Because
I think it's a fandom. Everything for Alex Smith looks better. You look at his average, you look at his total, you look at his projections, you look at his matchup. I think Alex Smith is just a better fantasy quarterback, and I think you're letting your... It's not going to matter because you're probably going to win, but I think you're just letting this be a fandom pick. And you just said Julio is not going to do as well as you think. So, like, even the double dip argument isn't there.
Well, I said he wouldn't go for 40.
Okay.
I am just worried that Kansas City, like I made, well, we'll get to the why I made the trade, but I'm worried that Alex Smith is starting to become the Alex Smith of old, where he's not really a good fantasy option. Like the first like 6 weeks, 7 weeks of the season, like that's where he got all of his points. He hasn't broken 15. He's only done it once in the last 5 weeks, and that was against Dallas. He's struggled. Like, he's not throwing as many touchdowns. He's throwing picks. Like, he's really been bolstered by like a hot 5-6 week start to the season. And I think he's coming down, and I'm even going up against like a bad Jets defense, I don't think is going to recuperate him. I am worried about playing Ryan, because that Minnesota defense is super tough, and I maybe last minute throw Alex Smith in there, but I think either way they probably put up the same amount of points.
Yeah, I'm with you there. I'd put Alex Smith in just because, but again, like I said, quarterback's not where you're going to win anyway. You're just going to win everywhere else.
Right.
So it ultimately is not too big of a deal for you. So go play your Falcons quarterback, I guess. Speaking of running backs, you definitely win at running back. Cause I still haven't made a damn trade, and I'm basically not going to at this point. Right. Cause it closes tomorrow. And I just want to defend myself here. I know you guys think I'm crazy playing two Eagles running backs, and I get it. But I just want to explain my rationale, is that if I have the playoffs in mind, tell me if I sound crazy after this, but if I have the playoffs in mind, like not that I'm going to get to the playoffs, but that I'm going to be playing in them.
Right.
Do I really want to be trading strength away, like my strong wide receivers away for like a mediocre running back? Because that's kind of what I've been getting this whole time. It's kind of like the shit deals I didn't take segment that Duncan and Scott did weeks back. Like, I don't really recall anyone ever offering me a truly good running back. So basically every trade that I would have taken, I'd be trading away strength in my starting wide receivers. That's usually what people wanted from me.
Right.
I'd be trading that away for mediocrity. So, you know, I never, with all the trades that get offered to me, I'm never seeing myself like going up in total points each week. I'd get a better running back, like a marginally better running back, and I'd take a hit at wide receiver. So that's a net zero gain for me.
But that's how a trade works economically.
That's not. What do you,
you're talking output wise, like you would basically kind of stay the same while you're trying to find something. You're looking for like a one really good running back for one really good, you're one of your good wide receivers, basically.
Yeah, and that's the thing, is also output wise I would stay the same. But if I trade a good wide receiver, I'm making someone else's team better. Like usually it's someone's trading one of their depth mediocre running backs to solve my running back problem to get a good wide receiver out of me. So I'm getting net zero while they're getting a net positive. It's like, I'm not going to make that trade for you, especially if I'm seeing you in the playoffs later.
Right. That's fair. Yeah, I get that. No, I was just going to say, like, that's kind of like what I was trying to figure out when I was trying to make my quarterback trade, was who can I trade with? Who would make a trade? And then who do I give up where I don't end up fucking myself over down the road by running into that person?
Exactly. Could you imagine Fronik like picking up like Michael Thomas for me? He tried to do that, I think, for like 4 weeks in a row. And it's like, I'm not going to give you any more to work with. Could you imagine at this point if I caved and gave Fronik even more shit to work with? Like, the league would be over, I think.
I mean, there's no need at this point. Like, your team has been strong enough to get you into the playoffs. Like, there's no real need, unless you start looking like schedule and matchup wise down the road, like you start to freak out or whatever, and like maybe you make a deal. But I mean, we're coming up on 12 hours before the trade deadline closes when we're taping this, so I think that's going to be interesting.
I tried to reach out last night and today even, and I'm still not getting any like good running backs offered to me. So it's just like, I'm just going to have to live with it.
Yeah. No, it's
the only thing that might be good this week. Cause if it turns into a shootout, I see them
LeGarrette and Ajayi maybe both getting into the end zone. It's not really good. I don't like it. Don't ever think that I like it. I don't want people to think like I'm doing this on purpose, but that's all I got, man.
Yeah, don't make a trade because you feel like you have to make a trade. Like, think about your team and like how they're used and their like the talent that they add to your team, and you've got a strong team. Like, I think this is going to be a really close matchup that I think, like you've said, like I'm pretty strong all over the place, but I think it's going to end up being a really close matchup in the end.
Yeah.
Cause you've got a good team. So
I got, Yeah. It's just the running back situation. And, I know you don't like Montgomery, but if Montgomery didn't go down, I think this would be a different story. Cause he's doing pretty good. Before he got his damn rib injured. I don't know if he's ever coming back for that in the coming weeks. But that might change the playoff picture a little bit if he like finally gets healthy.
Yeah, that would be a big an injury add or whatever to your team if Montgomery's healthy and back as a starter and they can kind of get the run pass game going with him. That would, I mean, that's extra depth to your team that, I mean, will help you in the long run.
Mm-hmm. All right, so yeah, basically you win mostly everywhere, but you can afford to lose, so could you, please? That's kind of the long and short of it.
I'd kind of rather not, to be honest.
Yeah, but, well, you know, you can take an L, Rick.
Speaking
Rick
of,
just,
I don't want to take an L, though. Like, I want to make sure that I get the number one seat.
I mean, you should just take an L, Rick.
That's a no for me, dog.
All right.
All right, let's get to our segments now. We'll start with a don't trade me, bro.
Don't trade
me, bro. Don't
trade.
I can't do it, bro.
So the trade that was made was between Luke and myself. Oop, computer's spazzing out on me. There we go. The trade that was made was between Luke and myself. Luke sent away Demaryius Thomas and Matt Ryan to me for Adam Thielen. Let's go ahead and hear what Luke had to say about the trade.
Hey, I'm on here to discuss the trade that Rick and I made a couple hours ago. It was Matt Ryan and Demaryius Thomas for Adam Thielen. Started with Rick sending me a trade for involving Alex Smith and Matt Ryan. And then we went back and forth quite a few times because I knew he wanted a quarterback with Alex Smith struggling. And I have two decent options. I was preferring to trade Stafford since Ryan has a slightly better schedule the rest of the way. But for obvious reasons, Rick wants Matt Ryan. And I like Demaryius, but it's an incredibly frustrating offense. With Simeon coming back, Demaryius didn't really have any good games with Simeon. All three of the touchdowns he scored came when Osweiler was quarterback. So I just didn't want to rely on Simeon, even though the Broncos do have a very easy schedule the rest of the way. And then I wanted a piece of that Vikings offense, and Thielen is clearly Keenum's number one guy over Diggs, and he's just a consistent wide receiver one, and is gonna. I like having Brown and Thielen on the same team, consistent double figures every week, and I can roll with Stafford the rest of the way. Thank you. Bye.
All right. So thank you, Luke. For me, I am pretty sad to see Thielen go. I was, as everyone said, he was the other steal of the draft. I think he was probably a better pick than Ertz. And he was on a super hot streak, but I needed that quarterback to replace Smith. And the waivers were just fucking trash. Like, if something bad had happened this week to Smith and he played terrible and got benched, like, there's no other option out there. I maybe could have like snagged Mahomes, but I just don't know what kind of quarterback he's going to be, and I don't want to take that risk going into the playoffs of having to start a rookie quarterback and the trade deadline coming up. So a couple guys I was trying to trade for, one of them was Brady, who Duncan wasn't going to trade away or didn't like my trades because I was trying not to send him Crowder or Thielen in them because I knew I wouldn't get kind of a wide receiver back to replace them because I figured Thielen or Crowder are both guys that are, you know, pretty solid wide receiver options that will, you know, kind of offset a quarterback if you throw in a couple guys or whatever, something like that. Feeling little okay about Demaryius. I think it's a little hit for me at flex, but I definitely think that he's still a solid option. I mean, as a number one in the offense, I like his schedule down the stretch a little bit more than the Vikings. And more importantly, I don't think I gave any, I mean, I gave Luke a really good player, but I don't think I made him an even stronger title threat than he was. Or did I fuck myself over? Of course, I say this now before Thielen goes for like 45 against me in the final or something like that. But I think if I had stuck with Smith, I would have fucked myself over probably even more.
I don't agree with you. Oh, man. Wait, so let me get this straight. Thielen was your flex, yes?
He was my wide receiver three.
Okay. Who was your flex then? Who was your flex?
Crowder.
Okay. I don't get this trade, man. I really don't. Again, you just said earlier, which maybe, you know, maybe it's just because we're talking, but you said, like, we were just talking this out. Matt Ryan, Alex Smith are largely going to get the same amount of points. So you're trading away a good wide receiver for a quarterback that's just going to do the same job as your. I get you're like nervous, but if you just take a breath, they're going to do the same job.
Smith has a really good week, I think he ends up putting the same amount of points as Matt Ryan, who's facing a tough defense. Like, Alex Smith, like, should be projected higher facing the Jets than Matt Ryan should. But I think, in the end, like, Alex Smith would have to, like, go off again to put up the kind of output that I think Matt Ryan, like, his floor is. And I think
so
that...
So you're saying Ryan's consistently good. Alex Smith has to have a good game to contend.
Yeah. Okay. I think the Chiefs' offense is trending down.
All right. I see... From that point of view, I don't. I respectfully disagree with that. So then I basically see Thielen for Thomas, and I think you lost there a little bit. I guess if you really think Matt, it makes sense. If you really think Matt Ryan is going to do well, I think you're right though. I think you didn't really make Luke's team like net stronger because. I think Matt Ryan is better than Matt Stafford, but like Luke said, he'll survive. He'll roll on through with Stafford, so he'll get through it. I don't know. I guess it works out. It just doesn't make perfect sense from either side to me.
Yeah, I mean, I think most people will probably think it's a pretty fair trade. I think, I don't know, they might just fucking end up hating it just because, I didn't like Stafford's schedule down the stretch. His only favorable game is week 14 against Tampa Bay, which if my team wins, I would be on a bye anyways, so it doesn't matter. While Matt Ryan, I think his tough games maybe. I mean, New Orleans at home on a Thursday night during a bye week, and then the week 16 against New Orleans. But week 15, he goes up against Tampa Bay again, who he just lit up for 300 yards. So I don't know. I think,
you know what? I do like that rationale. Take Matt Ryan away from Luke. I do like that rationale because then he's stuck with Stafford. So I do like that.
Yeah, I'm glad I got Matt Ryan instead of Stafford, to be honest.
Yeah. Yeah, that works. Because that's in some way you're like marginally weakening Luke, I guess, in a sense, by doing that. I like that rationale for taking Matt Ryan as opposed to I want Matt Ryan because I want a better quarterback, because I think you've just got equivalence there. But I get the taking him away. Yeah, I like that.
I don't know. I think it ends up being a pretty fair fit trade, like as you continually to like think about it and like what the teams look like. I mean, his wide receivers are a little bit stronger with Brown and Thielen, but I think my receivers with Jones and Cooks are just as strong, and Crowder is coming into his own, like, finally, after waiting all year and dropping him and then having to trade for him. Like, he's coming into his own in that offense. So I still feel like my wide receivers 1 through 3 are pretty strong. I'm taking a kind of a reach with Demaryius, but I think he's got Miami, the Jets, Indy, and Washington down the stretch, which are all pretty favorable matchups for most quarterbacks that are competent. It's just a matter of do the Broncos actually have a competent quarterback? So I don't know.
Yeah, I mean, you didn't shoot yourself in the foot with the trade at all by any means. It's not bad.
Okay. What segment do you want to go to next?
Oh, I pretty much have one segment, and that's it's an Aaron pain in my arse.
Okay.
We haven't had many of those, so I figured we'd have one. Is there a sound bite for it?
There's not, no.
Okay. Just an Aaron pain in my arse to Philip Rivers. he's been hot the past couple weeks, and this is just, he's been sitting on my bench, and I think he's actually done better than Russell Wilson the past 2 weeks. Not that it's hurt me. It was about to hurt me last week. I was thinking, damn, if Luke wins this, I'll be pissed because Philip Rivers did like 5 points better. But this is just classic Chargers. They start like shit. They get hot, and they make you feel like something might happen. And then they'll choke once all hopes are rekindled. This is the exact time that Chargers get rolling every single year. It's like the second half of the season, later in the season. And so I just want to say to Andrew and Jared, if you're still fans, I feel for you because you're going to get disappointed. So don't get fooled. Don't believe in it. Because this is every single year that happens. I don't have to deal with it because, like I've said a million times, not a fan anymore. Quite honestly, I don't think I've watched a Charger game this year. And I only really keep up because I see Felipe on my bench. But this is just, I just see him start going off, and I'm like, oh, yeah, that's exactly what happens every single year. I don't know. That's more of just a general, like, it's not necessarily like a fantasy thing. Like, when they get to the actual playoffs in real football, Chargers are going to choke if they get to the playoffs. Or they'll be, you know, in playoff contention, and then they'll choke. Big pain in the arse.
Do you think the Chargers get into the playoffs?
Oh, God. What's...
They are... They're 5-6. They're tied with Oakland. They are a game behind Kansas City.
Oh, man. This is exactly like... This is every year. It's like, oh, they're starting to do good, and they might have a chance. Like, this is, I don't know, man. There's going to be one deciding game that's they're in the playoffs.
They play at Kansas City in Oakland. So they play the team they're tied with and behind once to end the year. So if they win those two games, I think they can win the West. Assuming all hell doesn't break loose.
And who are we? So once the playoffs happen, who do we know who they would go against?
No, there's too much up in the air right now.
Okay. They're gonna win one of those games, and then they're gonna choke. They're gonna start choking again. I don't know, man. This is just. This is just classic Chargers.
All right. I didn't mean to put you on the spot like that, but I just thought maybe you still had a little hope down somewhere in you.
I think they'll beat the Raiders, and then the Kansas City game is going to be the big game.
When is that game? That game is on the 16th. Ooh, it is a Thursday night? Monday night game, I think. When is December 16th a Monday?
Mm-hmm.
Nope, it is a Saturday. Ooh, Saturday NFL football. There you go. Chargers and Chiefs.
Ugh.
All right. I've got one last segment to wrap things up. It's a Brock of the Week.
Brock of the Week.
It is the New York Football Giants. I think they were already fringe plays other than Evan Ingram, but they're going on the road to play Geno Smith and or Davis Webb. Hashtag two first names or two, hashtag two last names. This isn't going to go well. So sit the New York Giants in football and sit the San Francisco Giants in baseball. All Giants are bad.
And that's right.
All right. Well, that's all I got. Thank you, Michael, for coming onto the pod. Always appreciate you. I guess we're glad that Zeke Elliott is finally suspended. I know you fought hard in all of your legal courts to make sure that would finally stand. And we appreciate you putting up the good fight.
Absolutely, Rick. And just one more thing before I go. Where's the bug talk, man? We need some bug talk.
We'll bring bug talk back for the constipation bracket.
Okay. I'm really looking forward to it.
Okay, I'll make sure to tell the host of Bug Talk that you liked it.
Okay.
All right.
Thank you, Rick.
Thanks, Mike, and good luck in your matchup this week, I think.
Thank you, thank you.
This Sunday morning, be sure to tune into Eye on Fantasy Football on the CBS Sports app and in Eugene on 95.3 The Score. Also this Saturday night, as well as Sunday morning, as the CBS Fantasy team will be giving out all of the last-minute advice for your fantasy team as you're making the chase for the playoffs or possibly even a bye week. That's Saturday nights on 95.3 The Score from 10 to 11 p.m. and Sunday morning from 7 to 9 a.m. for tips on daily fantasy, last-minute rankings, active and inactives, and, of course, the always important start-sit advice. Thank you, everyone, for listening to the Semi-Pro Ducks Fantasy Football Podcast. Best of luck to you in your matchup this week.